This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
From the Kia Studios, nine floors up in Midtown Atlanta, waiting for the sun to come up on a Saturday morning. Folks, we do believe the sun will come up this morning. Sam Crenshaw with you on this side of the glass. Greg is here. He's on the other side of the glass like we normally do on weekend mornings, but it is anything but a normal weekend morning. For us, for me, for you, for any of us right now, as we are dealing with something that the likes of which we've never seen before. It's uncharted territory for us in total. And we here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game still want to bring you all the latest as things go on with our teams, with the sports world. Right now, with everything closed down for the foreseeable future, we're seeing some, teams doing some things we don't expect to have to do this time of year. Some events we look forward to being a part of have been taken away, but we've been given our instructions of what to do at this time, to do our part, to get things back to a level of normalcy where the sports and different events can go on. So that's the things we're going to deal with this morning. Of course, as usual here, we talk about things that's happening in college, things in the community, and things with high schools. And folks, there are some high school state basketball tournaments that are continuing. We will talk about that. Yeah, they're playing ball in some places. Not in this state, but in some other states, they are continuing to play. We'll get into that as we go along. What to be done about this overall for the players who are having this part of their careers taken away from them, being high school seniors who are getting ready to finish up and not getting a chance to play those last games. College seniors who are the spring sports have really just gotten underway. We're hearing talk that the NCAA will seek to restore a year of eligibility for them. Who gets that? Do the winter sports teams get it? We'll see. That's going to be even tougher than the spring sports because the winter sports, you already got some people committed and coming in, meaning freshmen who are committed to come in and they're looking for those positions, those roster spots on those teams. So that's it. And they also mentioned just for Division I, I'm saying what for Division II and Division III student-athletes as well. And I say that because these are the folks who really are going to play their years of college athletics and go to work. They're not looking, most of them, to play professionally. So we'll get into those things as well. But if you want to open things up and get some thoughts on what you're doing this weekend, this sports weekend, what were you supposed to be doing, but what are you doing? And also, if you are a coach or a booster or a parent or a teammate of seniors who are not going to get a chance to have that senior day or that senior night, not get a chance to play that last game, and you want to give a shout-out to the seniors on those teams, we're going to allow you to do that this morning, 404-741-0929, 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line number as well, and we'd like to hear from you. Or you can call us at that number. Or you can reach out to me on social media. I'm at Sam Crenshaw 23. As we attempt to just move forward and deal with some of the things that we've seen taken off the schedule for this past week. My goodness, when we last talked to you last week, we talked about some things that might happen, the possibility we were waiting to see. But tournaments were scheduled to go on. My goodness, I may have been a part of one of the last sporting events in this area with a crowd. Wednesday night, the quarterfinal game between Georgia State and Georgia Southern in the Sun Belt Conference basketball tournament. I mean, Panthers were trying to play their way into New Orleans for the semifinal round. Not successful in that, but a big crowd at the GSU Sports Arena. And I think that's probably the last thing that anybody's really going out to attend us that was in this area. Where we thought that NASCAR was going to try to hold out down at Atlanta Motor Speedway and still welcome the fans. They've done so much to get prepared for that event there. They've done so much to all things be made ready and different precautions put into place so that fans could come out, spectators, and still have a good time. And there's still some people out there, I believe, at Atlanta Motor Speedway who camped out for much of the week. That's where they planned to be. So they're there, even though the haulers with the racing cars have now driven away back up to the headquarters for those different racing teams. Disappointment has to be for those people to see that happen, but it's necessary, unfortunately, for the situation that we are confronted with. And I'm sure there are a lot of people who thought, even down at Georgia State up to the last minute, whether or not to play the game. The commissioner of the conference happened to be there Wednesday night to watch the game. And, you know, it's different feel as you watch the other places try to carry on. And during that time while you're there, you get the word that the NBA is going to have to close things down. And that was the domino that really got everything rolling, having two NBA players test positive. That's the thing that really ruled, made everybody move in the same direction. So like it or not, we don't, you know, we're not like it. We're just telling you what happened and what's going on. We would love for the games to be played and that sense of normalcy for our lives. And I wrote a little something, and I posed a question to you this morning that I posed on social media this week. You know, what do you do when your escape from reality can't escape reality? Think about that for a minute. What do you do when your escape from reality can't escape reality? You know, because that's what happens when things that we enjoy that take us away from the 9 to 5 or the things that happen around us, and, you know, not being pleased or the fact that, you know, you got to drive through a lot of traffic to get anywhere you're going in this town. That's one of the reasons why you enjoy listening to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game when you're driving in the mornings or driving in the afternoons. It makes it a little less painful. A little more enjoyable to find out what's happening and to be entertained, and that's what we love doing for you here. So we want to continue to do that in spite of what we're faced with, in spite of the fact that games are not taking place. To me, this is the time that really tests a sports reporter and a sports journalist, because to me, if you're plugged into a beat that you're on, you'll get information, you'll get things to plug in. And also we have social media. And that's going to allow a lot of the players, I believe, to stay engaged with the fans, to stay connected with each other. Because right now, we even think about baseball. They just said, players, hey, you can go home or you can stay in Florida. The Yankees have chosen to stay as a team in Florida. But everyone had the option for Major League Baseball. So, you know, what would take place? You know, no formal organized workouts obviously are planned, but when those things happen, you know, will we get a chance to see those things? So it's an interesting time.
You are doing a wonderful job. I just had to come in here and
how you doing?
Check a thing. I'm like everybody else, but you know, you said something that was. It says it all about this country and the way we have carried ourselves for decades. And what we're seeing right now, and it's a microcosm of what happens when the everyday things go away.
Yeah.
The $1 things don't work. The mechanism just it's like Pontius Pilate, man. Everybody throws their hands in the air, and they're walking around in circles, spitting and cussing. And the uncomfortableness of not being able to do – it's like, you know, well – I hate to put us in the same category as like Jesse and dogs, but dogs have a routine, right?
Yeah.
And when you disrupt that routine, they go sideways.
Yeah.
Eventually they will learn, but think about it. Take a page from them.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like retraining your animal.
Speaking of them, they're not bothered by this.
No, they're not.
Yeah. How about that?
And I'll tell you something else that isn't bothered by this. Mother Nature. We still got to go out and deal. Now, here's the thing that I'm worried about. And I think about this because you know me. Every April, I'm one of those people who has to get steroids.
Yeah.
I look forward to my prednisone in April because of the pollen. And I really have a reaction. I got hay fever, so I get my 30-day supply, and I'm done with it by May. And
There's certain people who we see walking around with a surgical mask on.
You're not supposed to be touching yourself. By the way, that's worse. I've been hearing so many doctors talk about that's actually worse for you because those masks will hold coronavirus. And then when you take the mask off, you're putting it on your hands or your clothes or whatever.
But some people, that's what they use this time of year because of the pollen. Some people
for that,
going
absolutely.
Outside. Yeah, you know what I mean? So that's the thing.
This is the year you start touching your face. I mean, for this thing to happen right now, and everybody's rubbing their eyes and doing this and that because of the pollen that's about to come. And that's what I'm
saying.
You're
not supposed to
Mother
do that.
Nature, yeah, see? So you're kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't. But that's a concern. But we are just heading into this storm.
Yeah. Well, the thing of it is we've been given a prescription, I believe, for things to attempt to do that should help it overall. But a lot of the stuff people talk about, well, when is it coming? It's here.
It's here.
And the idea is how we process it and how we deal with it going forward, being vigilant. And I'm going to post something on my social media of you and I just moments before we got started.
By the way, you're welcome. I brought you a present because that's how much I love you. Yeah. Tell everybody what I brought you this morning because of love.
It brought me a bag of some plastic gloves here. And, you know, there's
y'all laugh. I got clowned yesterday, something stupid.
Really?
I had to come up here for a minute for some stuff, and I had the gloves on.
Yeah.
And Randy McMichael, who loves, by the way, you know how Randy likes to get at me.
He's going
to
do it all the way. He's going to do it all the time.
He said, I ain't even going to ask you what you got them gloves on for. I ain't even going to ask you. And then walked away laughing. And then every time he walked by me, he just shook his head when he saw me. I don't care.
Well, you know what, though? And we got to give a shout out to our boss, to Terry, because
I'll be back. I got to take care of something.
All right. Because the Kia Studios is always kept pretty immaculate. And that's because he gets after us about that. So shout out to Terry Fox. All of our work area, he is constantly at everyone about keeping things neat, keeping things clean. And sanity, we always got some sanitizer coming in and out of the studios here. And we've always had it. So, you know, some of the guys kind of scoff at it sometimes and feel like he's a little over the top about it. But, I'm going to say I appreciate it. As long as I've been a part of things here at 92.9, he's always been after us about cleanliness and neatness and obviously the situation. So it's something we've always done in this area. So the Kia Studios are as clean as always this morning and because that's the way he's always made us be with it. So that's the thing. But there are a lot of things that you think about this time of year. A lot of things I think of that I've been a part of and covering sports. This is the go time of year for us. You know, baseball usually starts and basketball is in the tournament. And those things are being taken away. A couple of events that I've spent an awful lot of time in my life covering, we're going to talk about coming up. Oh boy, what an unusual sight in Greensboro this week to see the ACC tournament come to. And I'll give you my thoughts on that. And down at Augusta, the Dogwoods will be in bloom, but they won't be playing golf the first week in April. We'll talk about that more as we continue on this Saturday morning here on Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Grant Hill, talking about the recommendation and things that went into the plans of the NBA and for the NCAA to halt the tournament. We don't like it because of what it means for all of us this time of year, but especially here in Atlanta. We set the hall host of Final Four. If you're in downtown Atlanta, the banners are already hanging from the street signs and the light posts throughout downtown welcoming the Final Four, which now we know will not be taking place. And it's going to be some years before it lands in line to get the Final Four again. So it was being taken away from us and for the foreseeable future. You're not sure when we can get in line to get a chance to host that again. And that's to me, I think, is the double sad thing about it. One thing is that we don't get to host it, and we don't know when it will be back. We know that that's something that we had looked forward to, and that was the third of three consecutive events that we were going to get to put on, in addition to the national championship game for college football and the Super Bowl last year and the Final Four, and all have been made ready for that event here, and now that won't be taking place.
All the revenue that is not going to be pouring into the state of Georgia.
Yeah.
Between the tournament, the Masters, you know, and just like I said, the other events going on that are just – and by the way, which one do we get back first? Do we get another race in NASCAR? Does Atlanta Motor Speedway awarded a race later on and they try to wedge it in? Do you see any possibility of them putting the Masters later on? I mean, the gold standard came out.
They're limited times opportunities to do it if they do what they normally do in Augusta. We're going to have Kevin Feigl from WRDW join us in the next hour to talk about Augusta and the impact down there. Because imagine that community. Everybody based their whole life and existence on Masters Week
right
down there. But the fact that they're using the word postpone rather than cancel.
That's been one of those distinctions you need to listen to and should have been listening to this past week.
Right.
But here's the other thing about the Masters. You can if they wedge back in time for the Final Four and the other events. But what is as important as the play of the Masters that we'll be missing? And that's just the scenery of that place, what it looks like in April. By the time summer hits Georgia, them azaleas are going to be gone.
Well, that's why they shut the place down after Memorial Day. There's no golf play there after Memorial Day.
So when would they do it? And that's the only time I've heard that there's a possibility they could fit it in is in the fall.
And that's the other thing. I mean, do you want to do that? And we've already shortened the schedule as it is because we brought up the time for the Tour Championship here at Eastlake. So that's the whole thing. Where do you wedge that event in? You don't want to go a whole year not play it. But
they're going to have to. This is uncharted territory, as you said, and phrases have been used regularly throughout this week as we talk about what's been happening. And a lot of emotion has been thrown out in opinions and perspectives. And now that, you know, we realize what the new normal is, or at least this week, because it'll probably change next week. We get more information.
That's farther along we go.
You know, some basic common sense needs to be applied. When you see the videos going on, you know what I thought about?
What was that?
When I thought about that fighting going on in some stores they showed that, it reminded me of that craziness that happened when they brought back that Popeye's chicken sandwich. Remember the fights they were showing on the news about that?
Yeah, people fighting in the drive-thru.
I mean, why you want to be on the news tonight?
Yeah.
Take an extra second, let that person get what they got to get. I mean, I understand if it's the last, you know, pound of ground beef. But every store that I've been in, when the shelves are there, they have had workers come out and say, hang around 15 minutes, we're going to restock them.
They're restocking.
Just be patient.
They're restocking. And that's the thing. A lot of people feel like it's going to go away and they won't get to do anything and won't get anything. Again, I've been in stores the last couple of days. And yes, some shelves are empty, but as you said, Greg, people are busy restocking and replenishing. What's up with the toilet paper, though?
I don't know. Well,
you know,
if you're going to be quarantined for months, maybe they got a family, man. Let's just assume that they got, you know,
the way people are taking that stuff in, man, it's amazing. I mean, if you need that much toilet paper to be, you know, in your house for a week, you know, you got another problem other than the coronavirus going on.
That's what we like to say. That's a whole other episode of Oprah.
You got another issue going on. You need that much toilet paper in your house, man.
Fricky likes to say, why is everybody making French toast when the storm's coming? They tell us to stay in there because all they're stealing is, you know, they're buying bread.
Yeah, they're buying bread for the kids. Yeah, obviously. If you have kids, and shout out to all of the school systems in the area.
I'm going to let you deal with that.
Who are finding ways to get meals to kids who have to come to school to eat. You know what I mean? They're kids who come to school to get breakfast and lunch. Or if they stay for anything after school, maybe that snack. While their parents are still at work or whatnot and not home to prepare dinner for them. So that's another thing that I applaud the school systems around the Metro Atlanta area for go ahead and getting a jump on those provisions for young people.
But here's a concern for healthcare workers. Who's watching their kids?
Yeah.
While they're out there taking care of us or the rest of folks, they got kids too.
Yeah.
And who's watching their kids? Who's making sure their kids ain't out, you know, acting like, I mean, because there you might find situations where kids don't realize what's going on. So they still want to go play in the streets.
Yeah.
And they're playing with four or five of their friends and they don't know where they've been. And it's so hard to track this, but that's been one of the concerns. You're hearing comments from the loudest this past week. I'm not talking about elected officials.
Right.
I'm talking about people who feel like their voices and what they have to deal with aren't being heard. And that's one of them. That's worthy of mentioning, that if you can help a caregiver's family out.
Very much.
Do that.
Yeah, because they have to be in the line. I won't say the line of fire, but they have to be around it and working with it. And when it's done, they have some loved ones and family members who are counting on them. And so you want them to keep their health up. And that's the thing. I mean, be kind of vigilant And I know some of us feel like if everything's all right with me and everything's all right with my family and the people I know. But it's just caring to me. It's caring about people that are around just a little bit, you know, for this time. And it's a test. It's rearranging some things that we'd like to do. We can't go outside like we want to do because think about it. There are two things you know about that signify spring has come to Georgia, the pollen and the masters. You know, those are two things. Those things usually take place every year, springtime, and we know that they're going to take place. Had an opportunity to live and work in Augusta for some time and know what this event means to the state. And like I said, Kevin Feigl from WRDW-TV is going to join us in the 7 o'clock hour to talk about Augusta, what he may know of how the decision was made to postpone the Masters Tournament, what he may know about when they may put the tournament back on again. Now, he's not a member of the Augusta National. He's not in that inner circle, so he doesn't know those type things. But just the way it impacts that community as everything down there really revolves around that. And not just in the city of Augusta, but coming back this way on I-20 up to Lake Oconee or going back across the river into South Carolina, almost over to Columbia, every hotel room is taken in that entire area for the mass. And some people live here in Atlanta and get hotel rooms here and drive over to the tournament. So that's so much in Augusta. The big thing that happens during that week is people rent their homes out, rent their apartments out, because that's usually spring break for school. And so all those things change this year for the folks in Augusta. And also in Greensboro this week. I lived and worked there for a time. And to watch, Josh Wofford call the tournament to a halt and call the Clemson team and the Florida State team out to the floor in the middle of the afternoon and say, that's it. Florida State, you are the ACC champion. And, the Florida State pep band did the war chant and played the fight song. But, man, in front of that empty place, it just had a surreal feeling to me. And I'm watching it on TV and thinking about the times that I covered that tournament. Think about the time when I moved to Greensboro. They were in the process of expanding the Greensboro Coliseum because the ACC tournament had started going to larger venues that were in the areas of ACC schools, where Maryland was still in the conference. So Cap Center at Landover, Maryland, they play. And Charlotte Hornets had this new place, the Hive, down in Charlotte. So they would play it down there in front of the places with a larger capacity. So they were raising the roof and increasing the seating to 20,000 in the Greensboro Coliseum. I remember when I moved there, people said, well, we're getting there. You know, they're remodeling the Greensboro Coliseum, and we're going to get the ACC tournament back. And I'm like, you know, I've been growing up around here in Atlanta. I'm like, we have all kind of events. I was like, okay, and what else? And the person looked at me like, no, we're getting the ACC tournament back. You don't understand. Obviously, I'm like, excuse me. But that's how big that event is for that city and for that community. And to have it being played there in Greensboro and have it to be halted this year, and for that time, it really struck me and it's quite sad watching it end that way, knowing what it means to the schools, knowing what it means to the community, the people, and the pride that they have in being the home of the Atlantic Coast Conference, and that college basketball tournament, as far as conference tournaments, is always seen as the best of the best. So, my goodness, hopefully things get, restored, and the Greensboro, of course, will get some chances down the road to host it once again. But I know the pain and the disappointment that is felt by not being able to finish the ACC tournament there in Greensboro. But like we said, that's like I said about this, these things are coming back, and we're not sure exactly when. And so later on in our show, we're going to talk about being prepared and how we get prepared for teams to come back. What would be the process? What do you think the process should be? You know, if we are out for 2, 3, maybe a month, the NBA, should they come right back and play games? Should they come back play exhibition games? You know, how long should we expect the teams to tune up before they actually play games? Because I think a lot of people think, Greg, you're just going to flip the switch, go right back out there and play.
Yeah, I know. We listen, that's a longer discussion, and we're going to get back to that throughout the show. And then do they charge? And then are they coming back before people can come back? You know, are we going to wait till everybody can go out in public and do their thing? Because I would imagine you're not having one without the other. Because if it's safe, it's safe for everybody. Correct?
That's a question.
See what I mean?
We may come back and play and have matches and games played with nobody present.
Well, that's
for a time. For a time.
If it's safe, it's safe to come back. That means everybody should be able to go back. Not partial. That's the reason they canceled this now. Anyway.
Well, I think because we haven't tested players. I think when we have this time to test players and personnel for teams, then they go in and they play. So we may not have crowds yet.
You know, on a lighter note, you mentioned John Swafford. Yeah. You know, there's a rule. Every time you mention him, you got to talk about who his brother is, because there's people out there who may not know this. His brother's Oliver, the singer from back in the day. Good morning, was it Starlight, Starshine, or Sunshine, something like that. Yeah. He got a brother who got a hit song.
Wow.
50 years ago.
long time ago.
Good morning, Starlight.
Hey, now Greg's going out. He's going out to studios singing. You know, that's the thing. Coming up next, folks. Hey, look, high school athletics is usually a big time of year. We got our high school basketball tournament complete last week. But what about the sports going forward and how this may shake the landscape a little bit of when high school athletes can continue? Jasper Jewell, who's the athletic director for Atlanta Public Schools and also the Georgia Athletic Directors Association, is going to join us next. You stay with us on this Saturday morning and on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. John Swafford's brother, who knew? Oliver and the song. To our musical conductor on the other side of the glass on this Saturday morning. Hope all is well with you wherever you are. On this very different weekend for those of us who love and follow sports. And nowhere, we talked about the professional level. We talked about the collegiate level and eligibility being restored. At the high school level, it's being felt as well. And joining us now on the waitfor.com hotline to talk about it a little bit is Atlanta Public Schools Athletic Director and Georgia Athletic Director's President, Jasper Jewell. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Sam. Good morning, Greg.
I mean, great getting a chance to talk with you. And you, by the way, there's a big conference that I'm always honored to be a part of with the Georgia Athletic Directors Association that's not going to take place, among other things. But thoughts about the process and the thoughts. And I know you've been on the phone with a lot of people this week. What was the tone of those conversations?
Well, the tone of those conversations was care and concern, first and foremost. You know, we want to make sure that we provide the very best environment for our student athletes as well as our coaches and our athletic directors. So, as we talked to surrounding districts, we also talked to a few surrounding states. I had an opportunity to speak to NIAAA president, who's also the district athletic director down in Hillsborough County, Lannis Robinson. And we talked in detail about some of the safety measures that we're putting in place. And after listening to our great governor speak the other day, you know, we decided to err on the side of the caution and just postpone everything until possibly a later date.
All right. Now, and then we know that there's some teams are trying to playing as long as until the schools close, or some school systems close officially on Monday. So there were a few baseball games and lacrosse, and there will be a few today, I guess, around the state. But come Monday, all that's expected to shut down.
That is correct. For the most part, most schools have undergone a 2-week suspension. The GHSA and Dr. Robin Hines, he also placed a 2-week suspension for most athletics, and they'll reassess after 2 weeks. So you could anticipate even longer, and it may even be a wash for spring sports. But at the end of the day, safety and concern for our student athletes, our coaches, and our ADs are number one.
Spending some time on the waitfor.com hotline with Jasper Jewell, Atlanta Public Schools Athletic Director. And that's something we don't want to hear. This is a watch for all the sports, because a lot of the spring sports have just gotten started. And that would be a cruel thing to have it taken away, but what else can be done to help that?
Well, you know, we're looking at the possibility of if and when we do come back up online, suspending all play for middle school athletics as well as junior varsity and non-essential athletics. So that would mean we would only play region contests or contests that would have an implication on state playoffs and state championships. So we're also looking at a few things that we can, you know, kind of curtail and make some changes so that we could get a possibility of the spring sports season in. I hate it so much for our senior athletes. They've worked so hard. during their high school career to get it in. But at the same time, you know, we don't want to put anybody at risk, and safety is always first.
Indeed, indeed. That's the thing we're thinking about. But we are thinking about those seniors. And like you said, they used to having that final game, that final day where they get to walk out on the field or the court or the track with their parents and loved ones with them just to be celebrated. And you hate to have that taken away from them. But I want to get into something else, too, because spring football is something that usually takes place in May. And basically, to me, that is the start of football practice for the next season. You have your limited workouts those 2 weeks, but after graduation, you start your off season. You start your 7-on-7s. You start your lineman camps. You start those type things. That's basically, to me, the start of preparation for August and September. Talk about the impact of that if they're not able to do that when May rolls around.
I think spring football is crucial in one way, but in another way, I also think that, you know, if we were having to miss spring football, it wouldn't be as big a deal as a lot of people in the state of Georgia thinks. The month of June is relegated to off-season workouts, 7-on-7. Teams can practice without balls, so they can get drills in, things of that nature, and still get some work in. We officially crank up in July. Most likely, teams right now who do not do spring practice, they have an option of playing in two preseason games. So I will see you will probably see a lot of teams statewide go with option B to play two preseason games and kind of ramp up a little bit more of their workouts, their off-season voluntary workouts in the summer. So I'm sure this summer will be extremely busy if that were the case. But we're just going to keep our fingers crossed with hopes of getting spring football in.
What is the thing, I guess, as a coach, as an ex-coach, and what are some of your coaches and athletic directors kind of stressing to the players? Because everybody is home. People are kind of keeping away and keeping a distance. But at the same time, you want to keep them engaged. How do you go about doing that? Or what are some possible ways or methods that you think some coaches and ADs will do that just to keep in touch with their players and know what they're doing?
Well, we've told our head coaches as well as our athletic directors to make sure that, you know, you have a calling tree, that you're able to be able to contact those players. Some coaches have even gone so far as to probably institute webinars and things of that nature so that they can still have a hands-on approach with their players. I also told my athletic directors, make sure you're accessible over this break time because I'm still going to be working. So I told them to make sure that they're accessible by phone or by email. And I do daily check-ins with them just to make sure they're all right, just to make sure that they have a plan moving forward so that if and when we are back up and running, then we're ready to go. So it's not like we're taking 2 weeks plus off just to relax and unwind. You know, we're just really taking 2 weeks off right now to assess what's going on. But there'll still be daily communication with coaches. There'll still be daily communication with athletic directors. And I'm also expected to keep daily contact with my senior administration under the direction of Dr. Maria Karstoff, superintendent of Atlanta Public Schools. I'll also be reaching out to Robin Hines, the executive director of GHSA, because, as you know, I serve on the board of directors down there. So there'll be daily communication as to what plan B, C, D, and E would look like, and should we come back up for sports.
Man, that's a lot. That's a lot of ground that you're covering there, but we appreciate you sharing that with us. We're going to have to get with you because we're up against it now, because we want to get to some things, how this impacts stuff like Corky Kale and some things that are happening down the road that APS is going to be involved with. But we thank you for getting up and sharing this much knowledge with you. Best wishes to you and all your coaches and athletic directors and administrators during this time, and hopefully we get things cleared up to the point that we can resume the competition for the young people.
Sam, the pleasure is all mine. I also want to send a shout-out to the Metro Mafia. It's a group of district athletic directors that I'm very close with. We speak 8, 9, 10 times a day and bounce ideas off each other, so I love you guys and girls dearly.
What's the name of that group again?
It is called the Metropolitan Mafia. The Metro Mafia consists of Paulding, Gwinnett, Clayton, APS, Henry, Fulton and Forsyth District Athletic Directors, and they're a special group of guys and gals,
yeah.
And we bounce ideas off each other all day. We probably speak on the phone via text or on the phone about 40 times per day. we keep everybody in tune, so we keep our senior leadership up to speed as to what we've talked about.
Okay.
So we call ourselves the Metro Mafia, and it's a great group of individuals.
Yeah, okay. Well, I know them folks, so good. That's good. That's great, the Metro Mafia. I know the name of them now. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much, Sam.
All right. That is Jasper Jewell, the athletic director, Atlanta Public Schools, and members of the Metro Mafia. ADs just kind of keep things together around the Metro Atlanta area. Back with more. We're going to take a break here. Sports Radio 99 The Game at 99TheGame.com. But we're moving ahead to have our show with you this morning. Here till 9 a.m. So glad you are with us wherever you are. If you're having to get out and about, do drive with care and proceed. I don't know if the DOT will still get out and work on the roads today. The weather is nice. It's what they normally do this time of year. But this is anything but a normal Saturday this time of year. So be careful. And if you don't have to go anyplace, we just say, hey, make yourself comfortable there in your home. And what are you going to work on? What are you going to do? What's some things you could do during this time? And there's some things I want to work on. There's a couple of projects.
Cut the grass.
That I've been mind. Well, even
grass is starting to grow in the back there.
Mine ain't coming out yet.
Yeah. And reseed.
It'll be up in about a week, but it's not here yet.
Well, we're getting some rain in the next few days, so
yeah.
That'll be your excuse next week. Oh, it's too wet. I ain't going to go out and cut it.
I don't go out there in the wet.
That's what you're going to do. Man, I got another house. Homeowners and folks like that, I had a leak that showed up. Not a leak, but some water.
Really?
But it was – first we thought it was a foundational thing,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't, and
okay.
It's something else. And
well, that's a relief.
Yeah, it is. It's just one of those
you don't want anything
crazy things. Can we take a second and talk about – just a couple random thoughts that you had and I had this past week, and realize that some of this stuff may have been chewed by other shows and whatever, but this is our first time to talk about them. Because I had a couple things and I wrote them down that just gave me reason to pause, listening to other people's descriptions of events and then recapping. And because it's easy when you have hindsight. But there's some things, there's some actual things that I thought about. Like, is there something that kind of stayed with you from this past week, other than the obvious, you know, cancellation of things, something that you go, man, I'm going to talk about this weekend?
There was so much. I couldn't pick up just one particular thing, but there was so much flying at you this week and so much to process and digest. The Vince Carter thing, I think, was, you know, how crazy was that?
Yeah.
You know, being able to go back into the game and go out with a three if this is indeed the end of the season and the end of his career. To me, that's an indelible picture from this past week for me.
You know how Rudy Gobert got killed right after on social media?
Yeah.
You know, his playfulness and all of that. But at the end of the day, when people look back, again, you want to remove emotion from it. And the guys are going to be okay. But let me ask you this. I was thinking about this. When it's all said and done and we look back at this, will Rudy Gobert be to the NBA what Jose Canseco was to Major League Baseball? He exposed some things about it in a way and made the sport, I mean, obviously in different ways, but you look at an actual left turn from how they did business or how they were operating, and then this person, you know, I won't say reared their ugly head, but they did something to put them in the forefront of it unexpectedly, or in Canseco's case, purposely, but it changed the trajectory of that particular sport. And I say that because had Rudy not been goofy the way he was and tested positive and then gave it to a teammate, they would have played that game, right? Everybody was ready to play.
Yep.
And they would have continued to play were it not for him catching it. So I'm saying to you, in Major League Baseball, you know, when Canseco blew the whistle because he was all upset and figured he was blackballed and nobody was hiring him, much like Barry Bonds said this past week.
Yeah, he did.
And blew the whistle on steroids in the sport. And there's a lot of people who feel like he should have a little section in the Hall of Fame because of what he did for steroids or shining a light on it in Major League Baseball. Anyway, that was a thought that I had that popped into my head. And you know the other one, and this is on a much different note, but we have for the last few weeks watched Italy go through this.
Yeah.
And I mean, they
badly.
They put a wall up around that country. One of the things that has happened, and I heard this story the other day, I said, I got to tell Sam about this. There was a malfunction at a winery. I don't know if you heard this story.
No.
There was a malfunction at a winery in some city in Italy. They didn't say which one it was. But because of this malfunction, wine was literally coming out of the faucets in people's homes.
Whoa.
In that area of this winery.
Wow.
And they had video of it.
You know, just go turn your water on. And
it was like something biblical. You saw it coming out. But there was some kind of malfunction.
Yeah.
And folks were
getting. Yeah, hey, there we go.
With some Merlot pumped into their house.
And since we're on lockdown, we can't go anywhere.
No, man.
You know, there you go. You know?
Again, just the things that have. And the crazy part about this is we are so used to upheaval when it happens, 9/11, whatever. But there seems to be a foreseeable timeline in place. Or we decide to make one. Yeah, in other words, the country after 9/11, we're going to get this together and we're going to fight back and so on and so forth. And obviously the repairs of that will continue to this day.
Absolutely.
But
sport was one of the things that brought back a real normalcy.
But we as a country decided after getting kicked in the you-know-what from that event to get back up as quickly as possible. We don't know when we can do that now, right? We just don't know. And everything's in place to help us get there, but it's still we're kind of just sitting back with our hands tied behind our back waiting. And it's the waiting that's just the most – it's the hardest part about all this.
Yeah, you talk about 9/11. That was something – I talked with John Grant yesterday by phone. Of course, the executive director of the Celebration Bowl. He's also with 100 Black Men. One of the first events that took place in Atlanta after that was the Florida A&M Tennessee State football game that I had a chance to be on the play-by-play call along with our former 92.9 colleague, Jamie Dukes. Was on Fox Sports Net, and it was one of the first events. And I said, was it really tough for you guys to decide to play the game? And, you know, how was everybody with the Georgia Dome? Because you're putting together a group of crowd about 50, 55, 60,000 people in one place. And that was the fear at the time.
Right.
You know, you want to attack a place where you got a mass crowd of people. But they get it up and the game came out. They said the people just had to get out of the house. People just wanted to get out and do something. Because you think about this and what we don't see happening. The thing I remember about 9/11 was that there was nothing's flying over this city. No. There's always something flying over this city. We got the busiest airport on the planet. There's always something. But to look up in the sky on that day and see nothing flying in this town was just eerie. So you know, we think about that, and that's one thing we compared to. We knew that this sports was going to come back, and sports really served a purpose then to make us feel like things are back normal. Now we got sports. Like I said earlier, what do you do when you're escaping from reality? Can't escape reality. And that's, you know, what we're dealing with right now.
This is one big dose. And tell me if this is hyperbole. But this is one big dose of all of us, not just this country, all of us, experiencing what it's like to lose parts of our freedom.
It's true.
That's what it is. And people don't like that.
No.
Nobody likes change, period. But we come and go and are free to do whatever and did it after... You know, we're talking about 9/11. People still kind of got up and went around and did some things. You're being told not to do that now.
Yeah.
For fear especially of getting
something. We're in the thing where crowds are right now. And that's tough for us to do this time of year because when this time of year comes where we are, and that's part of who we are in Georgia, every weekend there's somebody's festival, there's somebody's parade, there's somebody's food fest, some type of music, something outdoor usually. That's how we set our schedule around here. This weekend, we got to go out to Marietta for this one. Well, next weekend, they're going to be down in Athens doing it. I mean, something outside is part of our culture, is part of where we get our food, our music, and whatnot, is a big part of this time of year. And right now, we've been told we can't be basically who we are.
Yeah, but you're talking about Georgia with that.
Well, Georgia, yeah.
We're a much bigger community right now, and I'm saying from coast to coast that, you know, you have to stay inside. And we are, I mean, it's not China yet.
Yeah.
It's not that, but, you know, when you look at what's happened over there, and these guys are on the uptick. It was about 8-9 weeks of being reminded that that's a communist country, but yet what they did seems to have worked.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to imagine that sort of thumb coming down on everybody. But when you're talking about a health crisis, rid of it, I'm open to all suggestions and all ways of resolving this as quick as possible.
Like something out of a B movie. But I was mentioning, you know, there's basketball going on this weekend. How would you feel if you were a parent of a young...
Yeah.
No, in Nebraska, in Louisiana, they're going on with their state basketball tournaments. No crowd. In Louisiana, I think they are allowing cheerleaders and pep band. In Nebraska, no cheerleaders and pep band, and they're going on with playing a state tournament. And we just spoke with Jasper Jewell from Atlanta Public Schools. He talked about how it's tough for the seniors. You know, in Georgia, we finished our state basketball tournament last week. You kind of wonder, though, if that was in place this week, would we play those championship games this weekend? And that's what they're doing in those states. So there is basketball, high school basketball, going on in Nebraska and Louisiana, maybe several other states who've gotten to this point. They've gotten the same thing from the governors of those states. They recommended them not play. They recommend that they close all activities down. So all the other sports and athletic events going on are not happening. But because these teams are down to their championship games, they are getting a chance to play those games, to play for the state championship. Those seniors who worked so hard to get that one last chance, they are going to let them finish their basketball tournaments in front of a limited crowd, very limited crowd, in those two states. What's your thoughts on that? You be okay with that. If your child is on one of those teams, 404-741-0929, and text us on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929. Coming up next, we're going to make a call down I-20 to Augusta. Check in with Kevin Fagel, WRDW-TV, about the mood there as a decision was made to postpone the Masters Tournament. That's coming up when you stay with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. A different Saturday morning than we are used to having this time of year. A number of events that are not going to take place, and one that really held out hope until yesterday was down the road at Augusta. The Masters has been postponed for this year. Joining us now on the WadeFort.com hotline as we go out to 16, not to Vern Lundquist, but to Kevin Fagel on WRDW-TV. Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, Sam. How are we doing today?
Wow. How are you doing, and how is everybody in Augusta doing after the news that we've heard?
It is such a surreal week in the world of sports, too. I mean, we were all hoping that there would be some sort of a positive sign as far as the Masters go. I think they were weighing their options up until really the last minute, and they had to make a decision just because of all the logistics of there's so many volunteers and workers that come in from all over the country and all over the world that they had to make a decision basically when they did just for that behalf alone.
I know that it's a big week for golf and for the sport, but also just for the city. I haven't lived and worked there. Augusta lives, really thrives for this week.
Oh, for sure. I mean, we're going to be talking hundreds of millions of dollars. And it depends now. If they are able to reschedule it, the hit won't be as bad. It's just the timing isn't the greatest because a lot of people depend on this. A lot of people depend on this week for vacation money, for to help pay the mortgage. A lot of people rent their houses out for the week or even 2 weeks at this point in time, the way with now that they've added the women's amateur.
Yep, that's the other thing, the other events that take place, and also the event for the youth event as well. What are you hearing at all about the possibilities? Because we know that normally golf ceases at the Augusta National after around Memorial Day, and I think nobody plays golf there during the summer months. To me, that kind of limits their choices for when they might play.
It does, but in a sense, I think, because they close the course at the kind of towards the end of May, and then it opens back up in October, and that's because of the grass. We're talking grass greens, which not many courses in the South have, and it just doesn't take the heat as well. But the option is, I mean, in my opinion, and nothing, Augusta National hasn't said a thing, and we're not going to know until they do. But I think the PGA Tour calendar hasn't been set yet for the next season. So I think there's a possibility they could play it like the week or two after the Tour Championship or something along that line, or even to start the year, or even in October when the golf course does open and everything returns to green and they don't have to change out the grass like you could possibly do. But with the quick turnaround, if they do hold it in October right back to April, I don't think we would see that. So there's some options on the table as far as that goes. But, I mean, I think even Jack Nicklaus said yesterday in an interview that he doesn't think it's going to be played at all. He thinks it will be canceled for the year just because of the logistics and just because of the calendar year, the way it's set.
Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline this morning with Kevin Feigl. He's the sports director of WRDW-TV there in Augusta. He is there, obviously, keeping an eye on things as far as the Masters, holding out hope. Could you possibly imagine this event going out without spectators? I mean, they were talking about it. Could you realistically see that happening?
Actually, yes. I think that was a pretty strong option from what I understand. I mean, we're going to go ahead and see a lot of sporting events without spectators. I mean, the NBA was preparing to do that just right there. I mean, NASCAR was about to do that there in Hampton. I think it was a strong option, but I think at the end of the day, there's just still so many support staff that you need for a golf event. The golf event still takes hundreds of a support staff, even with no patrons or whatever, and I think they just erred on the side of caution. Everybody is doing that right now, and I think it was probably the right decision just to say, let's postpone it, let's regroup, let's see what we can come up with. But it is unprecedented. I mean, you got to go back to World War II when we haven't had a golf tournament in April in Augusta.
Man, that's a long way, and it speaks volumes about the tradition and what people expect this time of year. I was saying earlier, there are two things we count on to let us know when springtime comes to Georgia: the pollen and the Masters.
and one of them's here, and the other one's not coming. It is crazy. It really is an unprecedented time.
Thoughts about were there any anxiety about the number of international people that come in? Because normally you have golfers from other parts of the world that come, and the media that come from other parts of the world as well.
I really think that probably was the determining factor. I don't necessarily want to say because of the international media and players, because that could have been controlled, so to speak. But unlike a regular PGA Tour event, you have patrons from all over the world. I mean, a lot of the golf tournaments that we see are more, and I don't want to downplay the importance of it or the variety of the fans, but you do truly see an international crowd here. The players, yes, the majors, yes, but take, for example, the Heritage right after the Masters. That is mainly a South Carolina, Georgia crowd that attends those events. So I think that was that played a huge role in it, just the amount of international patrons that would have been here.
Would have been here indeed for that. Now, the other thing I think about, Kevin, when I think about the Augusta, a lot of people want to come there, want to bring their cameras, they want to photograph the grounds as well as be spectators in the galleries for the golf, but also you want to go and get the gear. And that's the thing, you want to go see what new gear there's going to be with that Masters logo on and whatnot. And you're not going to get that this year either.
I know. I was saying to somebody, you can find anything that says 2020 Masters on it, that's going to be worth a couple of bucks down the road. And the Masters has very little in the way of online things. They only have a handful of things, like their annual and a few other programs, so to speak, that are online that you can purchase. Other than that, you can, as you said, you can only get that gear one time a year.
Wow, and you have to get it. I mean, in recent years, they got it so they'll box it up and you can plans to ship it,
right,
and that type of thing. They have done that. But my goodness, there's only one place you can get it. And, they always roll out a new item or two each year. And so that's the thing. You want to go in there and just see what it is. You know it's going to be a little steep for your pocket, too, but you still.
And I mean, the garden gnome has been the big thing the last few years. They've done these caddy garden gnomes and different get-ups, and so I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I suppose if they really wanted to, they could still put it all online, but that would be so out of character for the Masters to do that.
That would be. Had you started doing your preparation, when I think about people who work in the media in Augusta this time of year, you started doing your preparation for your coverage?
Yeah, we kind of start thinking, my mind, at least for me, my mind starts gearing towards Masters about right after the football season, right after the college football season. So the first of the year in that department, we're starting prep work. We start talking about
we've had a couple of station meetings. We start preparing our graphics package and things along that line. So, yeah, and a buddy of mine actually up in Greenville, it was ironic, he got his parking pass and his media credential yesterday in the mail.
Wow.
So everybody, we were there, you know. I mean, it was 4 weeks away, 3 weeks away because of the added week now with the women's amateur and the drive, chip, and putt. So we were there, you know. It was going to happen. And unfortunately, they're going to regroup and see what happens. And as I said, it's a huge financial loss right now. Just for example, there's one area golf course that does $250,000 at Masters Week. I mean, that is a big number. That is a big chunk of business. And we did a story yesterday on this small local cigar shop that already had all their cigars in. They order, because you know how it goes with golf. I mean, there's a lot of cigar smoking and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And now they don't know what to do. They could send them back, but they're still going to take like an $11,000 hit. For a small mom-and-pop store, that's a big hit.
It is. And I tell you what else I found out. I had a spy down there this week. You guys are about to open a Top Golf. I'm sure they're going to open that thing in time for the Masters, right?
That was the plan, and now they're kind of like all of a sudden slowing down. They're like, they don't need to rush now. And so you have people that were probably already hired or about to be hired to staff that place. They probably don't have a job for another few weeks at least.
Man.
It's going to be a staggering hit, and we'll see what happens.
We'll see. And also another
thing. That's why we're hoping we get a chance to do it somewhere down the line this year.
You know, the other event we talk about how it impacts the whole state also is the red carpet tour. And a lot of people forget usually the governor or lieutenant governor will bring some business people from international companies seeking to get them to relocate their headquarters to the state of Georgia and bring jobs. And one of the things they do to try to seal the deal is they bring them to the Masters.
And it's the funny story with that is even the Augusta mayor does kind of, I think he kind of piggybacks along with that. And the story goes that apparently when they bring in their whoever they're wooing, for lack of a better word, they give them like $10 or $20 cash, and everybody's like, they're like, well, what is this going to get me? Well, that can get you quite a bit as far as a concession stand goes in Augusta National. That'll get you your drink, that'll get you your sandwich, that'll get you your snack, and you'll still have a couple of bucks left over, believe it or not.
There you go. The concession's always affordable. If people want to get, when people want to make a run on those pimento cheese sandwiches, they won't get to do it this year. Kevin, we thank you for getting up this Saturday morning and spending some time with us here and bringing us up to date. And as things progress, we get they all clear to resume sporting activities. We'll be back in touch with you to see if we're able to play the Masters here in 2020 and also get some of that gear, too.
Thank you. No problem, Sam, anytime.
All right, thanks a lot. That is Kevin Feigl from WRDW-TV in Augusta, Georgia. And that's right, something with 2020 Masters on it. You're lucky enough to get that. You want to tuck that away, especially if this tournament is not played this year. Always want to see what that gear is. Kind of pricey, too. Coming back with more thoughts on this as we look ahead to the next hour here on Sports Radio 99 The Game at 99thegame.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.